I'm ministering on the progression of reconciliation. We're reading in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign not on the earth, as it is rendered in the King James Version, but we shall reign over the earth. I want you to notice in verses 8 through 10 that God is telling us here about the individual personality, which we have already covered and we've already studied in our series on the seven seals. Here God is telling us that it is the individual personality first that has to be reconciled. It simply means that the individual personality has to come back into the place of the totality of God before the ministry of reconciliation can begin to work in you. Now, the progression of reconciliation goes all the way from the individual personality to the entire creation. And it does so between verses 8 and 13. It goes all the way from the individual personality being reconciled to the entire creation. Keep your place now in Revelation chapter 5, because we're going to go back there very shortly. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, does anyone understand what that actually means? It actually means that you, as a creation of God, have been totally reconciled to your former estate, which we lost through the sin of Adam. But we have been totally reconciled to what we started out to be. We're a new creation. Now, that's something that's individual. Doesn't mean that everybody around you has to experience this. Doesn't mean that the entire creation has to come into it. You, yourself, are a new creation because you have totally been reconciled to your former estate. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now there you see the beginning of reconciliation. Don't ever expect the total ministry of reconciliation to be able to work through you until you are reconciled. And when I speak of being reconciled, we're not just speaking of being saved, we're speaking of being totally restored back to the place where we are a complete new creation. There is no stone that is left unturned. There is no aspect of your life that has not been touched by the recreative power of God. And you are totally restored. And it has to begin with your personality. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and now here it comes, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation can only come to you and be totally fulfilled when you are totally reconciled. Now, if you're still having problems with the same old temper that used to bother you, you haven't been totally reconciled yet. You're not completely a new creation. If you still have problems with the same old jealousies that used to trouble you, you're not totally a new creation yet. Because when you become a total new creation, all things have passed away. And behold, all things, A-double-L, all, not some, all things are become new. I like that word are too. All things are. That's present. Not past. We see a lot of people who claim to have come into this place, but apparently, if they ever did, you could say all things have become new. It could put it in the past. All things at one time became new. But this is present. All things are. There's never any past to it. Anything that you come into in the light of a new creation, you are to retain in God. This is an ongoing process. All things have become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to know, that word wit is to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, we're going to say the same thing that he would say if he was here in his physical body. How many understand what he's saying? We're going to say the same thing he would say if he was here in the individual body that he lived in on this earth. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now the reason I read this is because it first tells us that we are reconciled. Then it goes on and tells us that we have the ministry of reconciliation if we are reconciled. Now you can't have the ministry of reconciliation unless you're reconciled. And where that has to begin is in your own individual personality. That's going over now to Romans chapter 14. I'm aware of the fact that we have read many of these verses many times in the past. We're going to read them over and over and over until we know them. We know them in our spirits. We know them in our inner man. Romans 14 and 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now be aware of the fact that that's already happened to us. We've already stood before the judgment seat. We've already been there. He's simply saying that any man that has not stood there yet will have to. And the way he stands before the judgment seat of Christ is when he stands before those in whom the throne is carried. And there comes a particular time that God brings people according to the adjacent condition and circumstance in their life to you. That's what the word day means. Now remember that. When Jesus said and spoke of the last day or the judgment day, it was the word that is defined as that which is adjacent to a particular condition or circumstance. Simply means that at a particular point in every person's life, according to the condition or circumstance, it is the perfect time for God to bring them before you. Now remember this. At the moment that God causes someone to stand before you and places them before the judgment seat, it doesn't make any difference if their flesh bows or not. Doesn't make any difference if they recognize you as the judgment throne. From that moment, that person is placed in your charge for all eternity. How many is hearing me? Until that person comes to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, you become responsible for that person. It will be up to you to eventually make that person bow, whether they bow at the moment that they stand before you or not. That's the very reason that some of you are seeing right now people who are attracted to you for no reason. Are you still there? You don't do anything. They just come to you. They're drawn to you. And not all of them that are drawn to you, you want to get married to either. Smile. Not all of them that are drawn to you that you want to go into business with or spend that much time fellowshipping with them. But they're drawn to you. Why? Simply because God has caused them, whether they realize it in their mental faculty or not, God has caused them to recognize that the throne is in you. Their spirit has received that revelation. Even though it's not related at that particular time to the mind or the intellect. And when that happens, they become your responsibility. It's the ongoing progression of reconciliation that has to take place. And every day that I live, I'm seeing more and more people that God brings to me for no reason. Except, when I say no reason, no reason on my part. How many is hearing me? I don't stop them. I don't trip them. I don't try to attract them. They just appear. Why? Because before it's over, you're going to have thousands in your charge. There will be thousands of people that will be placed in your hands. Listen to what he says. Verse 11, Romans 14 and 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now I read that to show you that the individual personality is that which has to be first reconciled. And when the individual personality is reconciled, then the ministry of reconciliation begins to operate. And when the ministry of reconciliation begins to operate, then what we read in the next step in the book of Revelation begins to transpire within your life. And go back now to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Now remember, in verses 8 through 10, we are seeing the reconciliation of the individual personality. And we know that because the four living creatures are seen here in verse 8. And they declare in verse 10 that God has made them to be kings and priests. It's the personality that's singing that song. When you're totally reconciled, you can sing continually of the reconciliation power that has transpired in your life. And nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take your song. Nobody can even get you mad enough that you stop singing it. Come on and help me praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 11, Revelation 5. And I beheld and heard the voice of many messengers round about the throne, and the four living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Now remember, it starts out with the four living creatures, and the 24 elders singing this song. Then the progression goes from the individual personality to 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Why? Because this is the operation of the ministry of reconciliation. And here's what they were saying in verse 12. They were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So in actuality, did it ever occur to you while we were reading that verse who they would be singing this song to? They're going to sing the song to you because they're going to glorify the Lamb that's on the inside of you. They're going to recognize it. Those of us who are able to minister the word of reconciliation to people and perform the ministry of reconciliation will be recognized for all eternity by those whom we reconcile to God. They will be singing the song or the new song unto the Lamb that was manifested in us and in our personality. Now then, you want to understand how your reward comes to you? You want to be rewarded? Amen. When you begin to perform the ministry of reconciliation, there is no greater reward than have these people recognize that they have been reconciled because of the Lamb that was manifested in your personality. Now, you can take your rewards of gold all you want to, crowns, all those things, stars in your crowns. But I'll take the praise, the glory, the honor that people spiritually are able to give unto the Lamb that has been manifested in me. I'd much rather have that. Come on and help me praise the Lord. Now I want you to understand that the secret of reconciliation ministering is the spiritual hearing. You cannot fulfill the ministry of reconciliation until you can begin to hear spiritually. Now I'm going to go into the thing that you must hear with your spiritual ears if you're going to perform the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Keep your place in Revelation chapter 5. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read in verse 9. This entire chapter deals repeatedly with this phrase. Matthew 13 and 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There is no way to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation until you can begin to hear, and there's something specific that you have to hear. Somebody said, I've been hearing God's voice for a long time. Aha. But there's something else you're going to have to start hearing if you perform the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to read here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37 now. Matthew 13 and 37. Speaking of Jesus, says, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the ultimate goal or point that was set out to be attained by God of this age. Let's go back now. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the ultimate attaining of the goal of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now remember that the kingdom of God is within you. Now, if the kingdom of God is within you, then that means that everything that offends has to be gathered out of the inside of you. That's where the offenses have to be gathered from. And I want to explicitly explain that the messengers are right now gathering out of the people, out of the elect, the things that offend them. And I want to add something to this right here. Most of you are not offended by anything except people. How many is aware of the fact that people are the things that offend most of you? You know what it means then? It means that those people who offend you have become the idols that pollute the temple of God. God has to gather those people out of you. These people are possessing your life. Let God, by the message, gather them out of you. And gather out of his kingdom everything that offends. If his kingdom is on the inside of you, then that which offends has to come out of you. Has to come out of us. And we make it to the place where there are absolutely no offenses whatsoever. Now I'm going to finish that part of the message later in a message that will be entitled Cleaning the Idols Out of God's Temple. I'll finish this part of the message. God has to clean out of us the things that offend. So we must be able to hear the cries of the people that need to be reconciled. You must be able to distinguish every voice of every person that God has ever caused to pass before you and recognized that they were standing before the throne of God. You've got to be attentive to their cry. And if you don't hear it, you'll never fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. Some of you that have heard voices at different times, you might ought to start listening to what the voices are saying. Somebody said they're tormenting spirits. There is nothing that can torment you. I mean, is aware of the fact that if you are the elect of God, there is nothing that should be able to torment you. If you're possessing the fullness of your authority, you shouldn't be able to hear demons talking unless they're asking for reconciliation. How many is hearing what I'm saying? When I say you should not be able to hear demons talking, I'm simply saying you should not hear them within the scope of them being able to torment you. Turn over to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1. To fulfill the ministry of reconciliation, you must be able to hear. The cry of those people who need to be reconciled. Zephaniah. This is a hard little book here to find. Hardly ever gets read from. It's over here toward the last part of the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate. Now understand that the fish gate is the gate in the ancient city of Jerusalem where they brought the fish to market. The fish were brought to market. They had the sheep gate, they had the fish gate, they had the horse gate. And God said here that there would come a time that there would come a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills. Now I want you to understand that in the cry of the fish gate, God is simply telling us that these people, they're going to be brought in as having been caught in the great net, which is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a great net cast into the sea. And when it is pulled in, it brings in both good fish and bad fish. He said there's going to be a cry from the fish gate. And you've got to be able to hear this cry. Now go over to Isaiah chapter 24. Now, in case you're wondering who these people are that are giving this cry, these are the people that are crying out for reconciliation. Isaiah chapter 24, and first of all in verse 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes, when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry from the sea. Are you hearing this? The sea is the deep. You understand that? The sea is the bottomless pit. They shall cry aloud from the bottomless pit. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord, look at this, in the fires. What is he saying? Even the very people that are in the bottomless pit, in the very fires, there will come a time when they will glorify the Lord. Even the the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. Ah, but look at this. And after many days shall they be visited. Ooh, hallelujah. Now understand what God is saying. Now you've got to correlate all of this that I have read all the way from the book of Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is talking about the separation of the tares from the wheat, and how that the tares would be gathered and cast into the fire and burned. Now we read it here in Isaiah verse 15, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires. God is saying they will cry unto him from the pit, from the sea. He goes on down and says that they will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. Who gathers them? We do. Where are we gathering them from? Out of people. I want you to get it. Some of you are being offended by people that you have allowed into your life. And we are gathering the spirits of these people, putting them into the fire. By what? By the message. Just by ministering the truth. How many is understanding? Just by speaking the truth. Simply by manifesting nothing but truth and the love of God. You don't have to speak judgment. You don't have to do anything. This is not a contradiction of the message of love. All you have to do is manifest love and speak the truth. And the manifestation of that love and speaking the truth is the very thing that gathers those people who are offensive in bundles and puts them into the process of the fire of God. But he says here, after many days they'll be visited. Why? Because we're going to hear their cry. See, your ears have to come open to the cries of these people to be able to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. That's the very thing that God is doing right now for some of you. He is teaching you how you can hear His voice, and not only His voice, but the voice and the cry of people and spirits that have to be reconciled. You must be able to distinguish every one of these spirits that have been brought before you, even into the thousands. How many believe that God is able to give you His ears? And how many believe that He's able to hear the distinction of every one of these voices? And if He can hear the distinction of every one of these voices, you have to be able to hear it. It's the hearing that is the very important aspect of fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation. And God spoke to me this week. We who have this ministry will hear the cry of these spirits in our own spiritual ears. It has to happen. You have to hear the cries of these people in your own spiritual ears. And these will be the souls or the spirits of those which were already brought before our judgment feet. How many remember the message that I ministered on the judgment feet of Christ? If you've forgotten it already, I need to preach it again. The judgment feet of Christ is simply the judgment seat of Christ. It's where people have to bow. They have to bow at your feet. And those whom God has brought before you and placed you in the position of the judgment seat or the judgment feet of Christ, these are the very ones that you have to hear their cry. Your ears have to come open. These are the ones that pass before you in the flesh. And at that very moment, they are placed in your charge. Now this is why He repeatedly says, that God repeatedly says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many is aware of the fact that these people that need to be reconciled, they can only cry unto you through the hearing of your spiritual ears? Now turn on over to Isaiah chapter 21. The book of Isaiah is full of the message of reconciliation. Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh. Oh, hallelujah. And also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return. Come. That's what the watchman is saying. Now let's go back to verse 11. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Now to fully understand that verse, you must understand once again the great significance of Seir and also of Duma. Duma was the son of Ishmael. Duma is the son of Ishmael. He's a Gentile. In other words, he was not in actuality God's elect. But God said to Abraham, I will make a great nation out of him. Oh, hallelujah. These are the very people who were not of the seed of the election that he's talking about, that cried out to the watchman. Now you're getting the picture. The cry is the burden of Duma, the burden of people who were not the elect that cry out. And the definition of Duma is very interesting. It was defined in the Hebrew as to be dumb. That means speechless, silence, death, to fail, to perish, to be destroyed. That's the definition of Duma. Now let's go back and look at verse 11. The burden of those who were not the elect, that had no spiritual voice, they were silenced by the power of death. They failed. They perished. They were destroyed. But yet God is going to give them a voice to be able to cry out and say to you, watchman, do you understand your position? You're a watchman. And the watchman said, are you inquiring of me? Go ahead and inquire. Return, if you will. Come back if you want to. This is the message of those who are the elect of God, fulfilling the progressive ministry of reconciliation. And it goes all the way from the individual personality that is reconciled to you being able to minister to thousands in the spirit realm. Now let's go back and read verse 11 one more time, because I want to define Seir once again. And it's interesting what is actually contained in just one verse. Isaiah 21 and 11. The burden of Duma. Which is the son of Ishmael. He calleth to me out of Seir. Now the definition of Seir. Once again. Are you ready? Rough. Shaggy. He-goat. Devil. The burden of Duma. The people who were not the elect, that were actually devils. How many is hearing me? The burden of those who had no voice, as the election had. The burden of those people who failed, who perished, who were destroyed, who were devils, who were shaggy, like Esau, who were he-goats, who were overcome. This is the rest of the definition of Seir. Storm, who shivered in fear and became afraid. Yet God gives them a voice to cry out to you. And they will inquire of you at some point. That's why your ears have to come open, and you have to have spiritual ears to hear these people when they begin to cry out to you. And you will not hear the voice of one, you will hear the voice of thousands. Thousands. Come on, saints. Get yourself ready to fulfill this ministry. My God, some of you have trouble hearing one voice. Woo, hallelujah. Some of us can't even distinguish God's voice. Let alone all these people that are going to be placed in our charge. Shape up, honeys. You've got a ministry to fulfill. Every one of you. And the burden of those who were not the elect are going to cry into your ears, and they're going to call you watchmen. Some of you are so busy watching out for yourself, you can't watch for anybody else. Oh, hallelujah. We are the watchmen that have to speak to these people to bring them into the place of reconciliation. I won't turn over and read this verse, but it's in the book of Psalms, chapter 42 and verse 7. That's where David said, "Deep calleth unto deep." Now the definition of that is simply deep, which is the mystery of God, calleth unto deep, or unto the abyss, or the bottomless pit. The deep things of God, which are His mysteries, call unto the deep of the abyss or the bottomless pit. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to let this sink in, because the cultivation of your spiritual ears is very important, not just to hear God's voice, but to hear the voice of those that are going to cry out to you that God has placed in your charge. I shared this with you once before. A friend of mine who was a preacher, and actually had an insight into this message, but had a terrible judgmental spirit, terribly self-righteous. And I talked to him about it. I told him about it. And he respected me very highly. Every time he wanted to know more about the revelation, he talked to me. But he never would get the victory over his judgmental spirit. And all of a sudden, developed an infection in his throat. Within just a matter of hours, he was dead. A young man, very young, about my age. Well, thank you. I'm wondering how young some of you are. You're so slow responding. Hallelujah. But just all of a sudden, within a few hours, he was dead. God spoke to me, because he was leading a group of people, and God said I could not allow him to lead these people into this same self-righteous judgmental spirit, and he would have influenced them with the same thing that he had. How many know that like begets like? God said I had to remove him and place him in a position to burn this out of him. And I knew he was in my charge. I knew that. And I heard his voice several times after he had died, calling me. I never really spoke to him. I never really said anything to him. Until one day, I heard his voice crying to me so strongly. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me and said, "Speak reconciliation to him." I walked out of the house into the yard. And looked into the spirit realm with spiritual eyes. And saw him reaching to me. And I called him by name and spoke reconciliation to him. Just a few days later, I went to Akron, Ohio, and a man in the congregation brought a prophecy and said, "My son, the one to whom you have spoken reconciliation in the last few days has been reconciled." And the thing that blessed me was that I was able to hear his voice. How many understand? It's the hearing that you must develop so that you can begin to hear the cry of these people to be able to speak reconciliation to him. Now let's go back to the book of Revelation, and I'll be finished right here. Revelation chapter 5. And we're moving on now into verse 13. Now understand, we are talking about the progression of reconciliation. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea or in the bottomless pit, and all that are in them, heard I sing blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Did you hear it? Now, in actuality, what is going on there is that these people that God has placed in our charge to reconcile are the very ones that are literally going to be singing this song of glory and honor unto the expression of the Lamb that has stood up in the midst of our very personalities and has made our spiritual ears aware of their cries. We are the ones that have to hear the voices. God is not going to hear it someplace out in the heavens. We have to hear their voice. We're the ones who have to distinguish those cries. God spoke to me and he said, encourage you to begin to develop your spiritual ears to hear the cry of Duma, to hear the cry of these people who were not of the elect to overcome in the flesh. Hear their voice and tell them to come and return. Hallelujah. Get your ears open. Now don't go crazy with this. Every time I preach something like this, we develop a couple of nuts. But we can't quit preaching it just because some people go crazy. In case you're wondering what I mean when we preach like this, then we develop a couple of people every time we preach something that's far out like this that come around always talking about what they are hearing. I heard this, I heard that. One lady that believed the message that I preached on lightning messengers and being able to soar met me one weekend and said, Brother White, did you see me this week? And I said, I don't recall. She said, well, I saw you. I said, you did? She said, yes. You and I were perched on the edge of a building. Looking down on the street. Said we had just got back from soaring around together. I said, wonderful. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because you always have a few people that just want to go crazy on you. Somebody said, don't you think that's possible? Anything is possible. But don't try to develop things to make yourself spiritual. That's not necessary. You're either spiritual or you're not. You don't even have to act like it when you are. Come on and help me, praise the Lord. You don't have to act spiritual. Ooh, glory. I've seen a lot of people try to act spiritual that walk around. I've had them walk in my presence. I try to hide when I see those people coming. I do want to be transported by the Spirit when one of them come around. You don't have to act spiritual. You either are or you're not. How many believe if you are spiritual, this is something that goes on the inside of you? Hallelujah. You don't have to try to display it to anyone. Whew, glory. You don't have to go crazy on us. I'm simply telling you to get your ears open on the inside and begin to hear the cry of Duma. These people that are silenced by the very power of death. Their voices were silenced, but yet God is going to give them a voice to be able to cry unto you. Now I wanted you to notice that we have moved all the way from verse 8 into 13. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, dealing with the reconciliation of the individual personality. Then verse 11 and 12, dealing with the reconciliation of thousands. And then verse 13, dealing with the reconciliation of the entire creation. It's a progression. And if you can bring your personality under control into the place where it can be reconciled to God, then you can begin to reconcile thousands. Tens of thousands. Come on and help me, praise the Lord. And as you reconcile tens of thousands, there's going to be someone else that's going to be reconciling tens of thousands. And if everybody reconciles tens of thousands, it won't be long until the entire creation will experience reconciliation. And we'll be able to hear the entire creation singing this new song. Come on and help me, praise the Lord. God said to get your spiritual ears open. Begin to develop them. Now, you know what most of us want to hear? How we can be blessed. Most of us want to hear how we can be healed. How we can find $1 million somewhere. That's what we want to hear. We're always listening for those kind of voices. No wonder the devil lies to you so much. We want to hear all those voices of blessing. Telling you what numbers to play in the lottery. Speak to me, Lord. Give me a vision. We want to hear those voices. God said to begin to develop your spiritual ears to hear the cries of Duma. And you know what you're going to be fulfilling when you do this? You'll be fulfilling the law of love. Disregard yourself. Disregard what you would like to hear. Start listening for the cries of those that need to be reconciled. And when you begin to listen for the cries of those that need to be reconciled, then you're in a position where God can begin to speak to you how to be blessed. Some of us can't be blessed because we're too selfish. Come on and help me, praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you that I am blessed, and I'm blessed because I refuse to listen to what I wanted to hear, to what my flesh wanted to hear a few years ago when I was going through the rough times, honey. I refuse to listen to the voices that I wanted to hear, that I refused to seek to hear those voices, and I listened for the cries of the people that needed to hear the message of God's kingdom, and I unselfishly gave my life to this, and then God began to speak to me how I could be blessed. Come on and clap your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Stand with me all across the congregation. Get your ears open to Duma. Get your ears open to the cry of those that are crying to you as a watchman. Develop your spiritual ears. Father, open our ears and let us hear. Let us hear. And I'm going to ask the Father to let us be able to distinguish these voices that are crying unto us. You believe that God is able to bring back to you in your hearing of your spiritual ears the voice of someone that you may have only saw one time on a bus or on a subway. Come on and help me. The voice of one person that you only saw once, maybe on the plane or maybe on the street or on the job or someplace else. You may have only seen them once. And it was at that moment that they recognized, even though their intellect didn't know it, they recognized that the throne of God was being carried in you. And that was the thing that attracted them to you. They were able to see that there was something different about you. God is able to give you spiritual hearing where you can distinguish that voice in the spirit. Why? Because don't you understand, darlings, yet that our ears have to become God's ears? Our ears have to become His ears. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to ask the Lord to do a new thing. Not to open our ears where we can hear His voice. I've already asked for that. I'm going to ask Him to open our ears where we can hear the voice of Duma. These people that are actually devils that are crying out to us for deliverance. Can you say amen? You want your ears open? This is the way to blessing, honeys. It's the way to victory in your own life. I hope you can get a hold of this. Is anybody getting this? You can get a hold of this. It will bring about a complete change in your own material blessing. Because when you become unselfish, then you're in a position where God can really bless you. Can't bless you as long as you're selfish. I want you to turn around facing someone. Join both hands with them. Let the Father open our ears. Oh, some of you are going to be healed in the next few days that have been battling with sickness, certain kinds of physical problems for a long time. You're going to be healed. You know why? Because your ears are going to come open where you can begin to fulfill the responsibility that God has ordained you to fulfill, which is hearing the cries of those devils, people that were rough and shaggy and he-goats and devils overcome by the storm. Those people who were brought into the shivering effect of fear and went into the pit as a prisoner.